Hi, I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
Welcome to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. Have you ever wanted to take some of what you've learned on the podcast to the next level? Well, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
To learn more, go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.
Hi, this is Susan Clark.
And this is Chris Marie Campbell.
And today we're going to talk about feelings. I bet you a bunch of you are about ready to turn it off at this point if you're in the world of business. Because often we find that people, we just assume not talk about feelings in business.
Well, I think people think feelings don't matter. How you feel doesn't matter. And really, it's one of the key things we use to make decisions, not consciously, but subconsciously. It is a huge driver.
Now, for me, it really helps me to think of it, feelings, as really through the lens of location. And I mean that in a number of different ways. Like one thing, if I'm talking about a feeling that like I'm angry, it really helps me to locate it in my body. So that's a simple form. Mm-hmm. How does that feeling emerge? How do I get a sense of it? And usually it's tightness in my stomach. It's, for me, it's my jaw, or as you always report to me, my nostrils flare. So there's some physiological body cues as to what's happening.
Yeah. And I think even sad, people might feel heavier, more rounded, teary.
Yep. And it could be too. So that's a location part of it.
So finding it, let's just underscore that. So one key piece of figuring out what you're feeling is also locating it in your body as a sensation. There's sometimes people feel nervousness as a tightness in their belly or fluttering in their belly, churning. Those are, again, physical sensations that help you locate the feelings.
Yes. And then there's the whole location aspect of it as close or distant. And that could be in relationship to another person.
So slow that down, because I don't know if people really even think about that. You might have an innate sense of it, though, when you're thinking about the people in your, let's say, your work world. Think about the people that you just naturally feel close to. If you were in the cafeteria, if that was open post-COVID, you'd actually be like, oh, I want to go sit next to them. Versus people you may feel more distant from. Oh, they're sitting in the cafeteria. Where else can I sit? You don't want to go sit next to them.
So, and this comes up in, it's easier, probably easier to do it at home. You can probably quickly think about your family, who am I close to, who am I distant, or your relatives or your in-laws. But in that, that starts to bring it into the body as well, in the sense of opened or closed, tight or loose, physiological experience of movement.
And some of you may not have, say, I don't have any clue. So it's doing a little experiment. And how do you know that you do feel close to somebody?
So part of,
or distant from somebody.
Part of why we wanted to talk to you today about this is because we were just recently at an offsite, and this, I was experiencing some distress about some of the dynamics that were going on. And this was, we were going to be with this group for a couple of days. So when we were finishing the day, Chris Marie decided to do what I call a location exercise with me. And initially, I was hesitant to be an experimental guinea pig.
Baloney. You love it.
But what part of it was, I knew that, hey, I got to do something to clear this up for me, because I knew it was bringing stuff up.
Because the reason I even suggested doing this location exercise is a lot of times when we are not feeling good in our relationship to somebody, so we would feel likely distant from them, we wouldn't sit next to them in the cafeteria, there's stuff that's going on that if we said to them might help shift that, or if we check something out with them might help them check that. But because that distance is there, we tend to stay away from them, gather evidence that reinforces our story, and we stay stuck. Don't actually take back our power. Even if what you have to say to them is uncomfortable or they agree with it, you're still clearing your energy in that relationship.
Yes. So this can be something you can do with a remote team or when you're in person. So what was helpful to me was you suggested at the end of the day for me to get out a sheet of paper And at that particular time, I chose to use objects I actually liked. So I found things in the hotel
room. She was the salt shaker. Yes. And then there were some coasters
that I used. And I actually created a little map. And I was there in the middle because, you know, I am the center and grounded in myself. And then I put the different people on that we had been working with. There were five different people on the team. And I positioned them in terms of, it was an interesting exercise because I had the experience of close or distant, whether they were to my right or my left. None of this has to
make sense.
Doesn't have to make sense. I just found myself doing it. And then, you know, I looked at it and I could see, oh, I'm definitely closer to some people than to others. And then you asked me.
Well, first I wanted you to start with, well, how come you placed, I think it was Ed that was closest to you. I said, how come you placed him closest to you? And what was your answer to that?
Well, in that situation, Ed was, I thought, the person. I'm not always loving everything Ed had to share. We've worked with this group for a while, but Ed was very committed to, okay, I knew that he would say whatever he needed to say to me. If I was close or distant, I could trust that. I was going to hear straight goods from him. And I really did believe he wanted in that moment to learn or improve himself.
Got it.
Okay. So I've had confidence in that.
Yeah. So I had her start with so here she is, the salt shaker in the middle and the coaster to the right of her was Ed and why she placed him there. And that was there. And then we went farther out to the different people. So who do you wanted to, the one that was, well, the CEO, Lisa, was pretty far out. So can you share why you put Lisa out there? You're bringing up a good point. I just want to say, this is in a moment in time.
Yeah.
It's not like these people are there and they stay there. We are constantly, we're fluid. As soon as somebody says something, we could be like, oh, I'm closer. Whoa, I'm farther away. So I just want to say, I love that you're saying for this moment in time.
Believed, or I had that point perspective that Lisa was in more of that strategic, protective, having conversations with different people, not directly, not really as some other things that I had a conversation about were not getting out on the table. And so I was like, you know, that something was bubbling that did not sense to me, like it just too strategic in my world. So I was distant.
So the opposite of what you knew you'd get straight goods, Lisa, you were like, there's hidden agendas. Sounds
yeah.
Like. She's being strategic. And
yeah.
And that made you distant from her.
More did that. And yeah,
okay.
I was struggling.
How about somebody, because Lisa wasn't the most distant on your map. Who else was there?
Well, there was the head of legal, which was their name. That was Kelly. And Kelly was very distant in my view because.
Let's say no.
That was the most distant. I was the most distant from Kelly.
There you go.
Because I believed that Kelly was either uber nice or being difficult. And so I can't really share that perspective because of the legalities of it. So I'm not going to say that. And that was really pissing me off. Like I was angering myself because I was like, you have an opinion. You could use your role to say you cannot say anything, or you could say something that does not violate your criminal, ethical, whatever. But at that time, that was even harder for me because just thought that's, you could say something. Because even though you can't say anything about someone you might have to protect for legal reasons, but you could say something to the people in the room who I think you had an opinion about.
Okay.
It was mine.
Yeah. Now there were a couple of other people. They were in the mid-range.
I feel a little bit raw doing this right now. I'm just going to own that because this is the thing that happens with feelings, with this type of thing is I feel vulnerable. And this happened even at the time. I was uncomfortable, but it was really helpful to go through this process with you. So,
the things that you, because the next phase of what I asked you, once you placed and you were sharing, this is why I place these people. I also said, so what do you want to check out or say to these people?
Because we had another day. And I think kind of going through it, and then I had some perspective on what I wanted to check out, the stories I wanted to check out. What were the things that I was telling myself that were getting in my way? Because I didn't know. I mean, none of these things were facts. Like I said, I fought.
That's a good point. It's so funny because when you're listening to somebody talk about somebody else, you can make the mistake of thinking, wow, believing their story versus helping them go, wait a minute, that's just your story right now. What do you want to say? Because clearly, even when you talk about the people that are close and the people you're close to and the people you're distant from, it's the opposite. You can get straight goods. Lisa, you think she's being too strategic. And then Kelly, you think she's just omitting the truth and she could share more.
That there's things that she has to say to people in the room that she's not saying.
Yeah.
And she's going to use her position to not do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting about it is, so what happened is that the next day I did have the opportunity because in our work, we do teach this model. You're beginning to recognize some of it already because it is sort of the communication model. And
that's the check it out model.
I was able to sort of go through the top two. Lisa was probably who I went to first because, you know, we're believers the leader should go first. And I did ask permission. That was probably the first thing I wanted to talk about because I realized when I left yesterday, I had some energy and I was distant and I want to see if I can clear it up to get it straight. And what was interesting, I do what I think people do sometimes, and you can call me out on this. Like, I talked about her being strategic. I thought she was being strategic, but I left it very vague, which of course, Lisa was like, yeah, I am. That's my job to be strategic. That's why we're here. This is a strategic. So I got a little of the, and you were pointed out to me that I was doing something that seemed like I was making it more difficult because I wasn't being very clear about what I thought.
Which is often happens when people try to check out their story. They don't want to be specific because they're a little intimidated to be specific.
And so then I was able to say, look, I know there's some hiring that's going on right now. I think you're not telling the team everything about that. And I think it's getting in the way right now because everyone's here. And I don't know if that fits for you or not. And maybe that's not what's going on, but that's the story I'm telling myself.
And how did that go over?
Oh, well, the initial thing was this bit got a little defensive. This wasn't why we are here. We're not here to discuss this whole stuff we're doing. We're here for a different reason. And I said, well, okay. But that actually, I'm just going to tell you, it reinforces the story I have that something's going on that nobody here knows about. And so it ended up, she, to her credit, was like, I just do not want to go through a whole 9 yards about this right now. I don't know. I haven't made any decision. There are some things I'm thinking about. I haven't brought it. But I guess we have to have some kind of conversation about it. So, and she, to her credit, she came forward.
And that power of having that, if you hadn't had that conversation, you know, and you had to kind of go through the buffering, you know, like, it wasn't going well. But to her credit, and this is true, anytime you can acknowledge what does fit when somebody's checking out their story and what doesn't, both things were true. There was a piece that did and a piece that didn't. That creates more realness in the conversation, which you can really, I believe we feel when things aren't really being dealt with. And so that actually, even though she couldn't share it all, acknowledging it was very powerful.
And what was interesting was that we actually took the team through a similar experience where they looked at, sketched out where they were, and there was some clearing that went on. But the part that cracked me up was like later in the day, and a couple people asked me where I located them, but one, Sam, who happened to be the head of marketing, I just cracked up because at the end of the day, he had an issue because I hadn't cleared anything with him. And I thought he was feeling distant from me because I hadn't cleared it, which I thought that happens sometimes. Yeah. You think people only want to hear the good stuff, but sometimes somebody realizes if you're not saying what you like and dislike with somebody, they're, wait a minute, don't you have something to say to me?
Don't I matter?
It was refreshing to have that because, and I did say, the only thing I'd say, that's a long time coming that you would have wanted to hear anything negative. Because I did tell him my story about him was that he really just liked to be liked. So I wasn't sure he really ever wanted to hear from me. So it was it was a great exercise, I thought, for the team. I mean, I think they felt differently. And they realized that often, and I think we found this, like often it's easy to just say, okay, does anyone have something to check out? And in that moment, you go blank.
Yes.
And it really does help if you have some sort of way to locate people and then begin to, oh, wow, it's interesting. I put this person way out here. I didn't even realize that. Oh, there must be something. Gives you something a little more concrete. Begin to know, oh, maybe there is something. Me.
And because feelings are not necessarily at the conscious level. So doing this little map, you can take a piece of paper out. You're always hopefully the center because you are the center of your universe. And then
now, if you're not, that's a whole different
thing. Call us and we'll talk to you about that. We hope you're the center of your universe. But then where do you put these other people in relationship to you? Are you closer or more distant from these different people? And then backtrack. Well, what story am I telling? Like, what is going on that I put that person way out there? And then what can you do about it? What do you want to check out? What do you want to say? Sometimes it's just like you need to say something to somebody. And that is not to change them. That is to help you in your energy. So often when people work with us, they want to go, what's the right thing for me to say so that he's not doing what he's doing? Well, sorry to tell you, he's going to do what he's going to do, but it's important for you to say, hey, this is the impact it's having yeah. over here. And when you do, whether they change or not, whether they get mad or not, you will feel more 9 times out of 10.
Because this comes up all the time. Communication, any kind of communication tool, it really isn't about, I'm hoping, isn't about getting people to like you or getting people to approve of you. It's about being able to get clear so you can be present and know where you are in location to the people who are important in your life. And that, I think, is really tricky. I mean, and this comes back to the horses. What I love about horses is they really are making it all about location. They put that, you know, sometimes when you go out into a pasture, one horse will have, if it's laying down, they'll have two other horses around them that are their little guardians. They set up, you can see the physicality of where they feel safe, where they don't. When they want somebody to move away from the food, the head of the herd will come through and every other horse will leave so that horse can eat by itself. And they're very clear in that experience of where they are.
I think I was thinking about when we work with horses, Susan works on the ground with them and we bring, but with a human. So you're coaching the human, the horses are a tool. And one way is when somebody's incongruent, a horse just walks away. You are not safe to me.
Or they come in and just sort of so envelope you that you're like, this is not comfortable either. Like I've watched somebody who's not being very clear without their boundaries and the horse will either leave them, which upsets them because
they want to be liked by the horse.
Or the horse is so circular and it's, are you really comfortable with the horse being that close? And they're like, oh yeah, but you can. So they're doing something to try to get you present.
Yes, because when you're present, when I'm present, I can actually show up more authentically and real versus trying to manage my behavior so that you like me, which we find in businesses, people are doing a lot of, and it's human nature, but the more you can actually get present and real, the more energy you're going to have, the more you're going to have more life force and be more effective in being you, not being somebody that you think everybody else wants.
And when you're thinking of it this way, remembering these are moments in time. You said this at the beginning. This is a map of my moment in time with these people. And if I can use it to help me locate where I am and what I might want to clear up or say, that's great. And if I, and then that may be different day.
Or it could be different. Yeah, then after having the conversation, the whole map could shift.
Yeah.
So don't think that you're like pronouncing these people constantly close or constantly far away. Because so many people think, oh no, I've got to be close. That's a good relationship versus no, we are living beings and your relationships are these breathing experiences. So there's closeness and there's distance and it's an ebb and a flow.
Yeah.
And so in order not to get stuck either in either a closer or distant place, it's actually to recognize, oh, this is where I've placed this person relative to me. And I do have something to check out. And I do want to have the conversation. That's how you can reclaim your power in relationship.
Yeah. I mean, can I add something? Okay. It just got me thinking. Like, I'm we did this. Wrap up. I know you were. But this is true. You can map out people and look at close and distant. I was thinking also in business sometimes, it might be helpful to even do it from the standpoint, because I'm thinking of our different opt-out, which I'm sure we're going to talk about soon. But if you're someone who is like, I do not want to have to deal with people, okay, maybe you believe you are someone who separates under tension.
You're going into...
I know, but I'm not really. I'm just thinking, because I was thinking you could take the business issues, the key areas of your business, and locate them, because that's going to give you information if you're on a leadership team about what relationships you need to actually probably work on and clear up.
I think what you're saying is if you put yourself in the center and you say, hey, this marketing project, I am very distant from that, but this engineering project, ooh, it's right here. And look at where you're, because what you're doing is looking at where's your energy in relationship to these different pockets of business that you're pursuing.
If it's a project that you know is critical to your organization and you have it way over here,
far away,
and you're actually on the leadership team, that's something to pay attention. Something's going on there because you might want to figure out, could it be a relational issue that I'm not dealing with?
It could be a relational issue. It could also be like, I have no idea how to tackle that and I'm intimidated by it, which is still a feeling. That's why you've got it far away.
Yeah. So
that's why one of the things is do the hardest thing first.
Oh, yes. That's another one of our mottos lately. All right. Okay. Well, hopefully.
Lots to think about.
Yes.
Hopefully this helps.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Susan here. As a coach, a lot of my time is spent helping clients speak up in a direct and honest way in their relationships at home and at work. Chris Marie and I decided to create a speak up kit to help you do that for yourself. It's the best of our best work that we've gathered to help you. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speak up.